At Sheridan Funeral Home, we are experienced and skilled professionals who will guide you through your time of loss, listen to your needs and wishes, and take care of every detail. Hi, this is Carrie Kimmel. We have deep roots in the Sheridan community. We take pride in being able to lighten the burden as you take the first steps toward healing following your loss. Your needs and wishes are what matter most. Visit SheridanFuneral.com. Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremation's compassionate service for the Sheridan community.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Sheridan County Sportsman's Association is hosting an NRA basic pistol class. This class covers safety, handling, actions, cleaning, and maintenance, and shooting fundamentals. A prerequisite for concealed carry permit. Saturday, November 8th. Guns and ammo will be provided, or bring your own. Register online at NRA Courses website
or call Sheila at 307-752-5331.
If you haven't signed up for the Sheridan Media Newsletter, well, now's the time. You'll find some of the top news stories of the week, community events, local sports, weather, as well as the latest movies from Centennial Theater. What's happening at the Wyo Theater? Discover fun facts, local photos and videos, Sheridan history, country bounty links, as well as links to some of your favorite businesses and promotions. It's emailed every Thursday morning. If you don't get the newsletter, you're missing out. Click on the Sheridan Media newsletter button that's on the front of our website at SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, October 21st, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Joining us this morning is Sheridan College Director of Choir and Vocal Studies, Dr. Robert Cernan. Good morning, sir, and welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd. Thanks for having me here.
How have things been up at the college this semester?
We are really busy. We're off to a good start in the fall. We've had a lot of concerts on our performing arts series, bringing in groups like Wyoming Opera was here, and we had the Euclid Quartet. In addition to, we just had some concerts by the band and the jazz band program. So we're getting ready to get into the choral and vocal concerts.
When you are out traveling, do you ever stop and listen to hometown choirs somewhere or just kind of sneak in and watch?
If I can, when I travel to see my parents, it's usually a holiday concert that I sneak into. But yeah, anytime I travel, I try to.
I bet that's fun to do, just kind of sit back there. Is it hard not to be the instructor, though?
Well, when I'm listening, I'm not instructing. It's kind of a nice break from my day job, right? My day job is to rehearse the piece over and over and over and try to eliminate all the mistakes and give the students the best leadership and the best shepherd them through the songs. And when I'm listening, I can just listen and I don't have to concern myself with leading everybody else at the same time.
That's got to be nice. Just kind of turning it off and then just enjoying the performance for what it is.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of performance, for those who may not know, who are the Skyline Singers, and how did they come to take residence up at Sheridan College?
Skyline Singers is a small professional residence ensemble. It's a choir made up of professional singers from, most of them are from Wyoming and Montana. A lot of them teach in the public school system. A couple of us teach in higher education. Others are doing other jobs during the day, but have had classical and other vocal training. Most of them have bachelor's or master's degrees. And we get together. Typically, we have one rehearsal before a concert, and then we rehearse the day before the concert. I send them the music months ahead of time. So we're each working on our own, and then we get together. We got together last week in Bozeman, Montana for a rehearsal, and our concert is this coming Saturday in Sheridan. So it's kind of a accelerated pace of rehearsal.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's an accelerated pace of individuals,
Absolutely.
A bunch of educators and professionals coming together. It's got to be nice. I think, you know, when I was a little kid going to Mrs. Trokimoinen's music class, I used to think, you know, well, how often does she actually get to sing? But maybe she belonged to a group like this where these educators are not just teaching it. They're there because they love to perform.
Sure. And I have a lot of this music that I do with the group is music that's a little bit too challenging for my student groups or the community groups. And so I make sure that I do that with my professional singers who I know can handle it. And with, you know, they do the work on their own time. We come together, we're all ready to go, and we put it together.
What makes a piece challenging?
There are a number of things. Right notes. If the piece is in a normal harmonic language where people understand scales and chords, some of the pieces on this concert are not constructed with regular scales and chords, so that's interesting. And the other challenge is rhythm. If everybody's singing the same words at the same time, that's pretty understandable. Some of the pieces on this concert have very complex rhythms where people enter at different times with different texts. Some of them are mixtures of singing, speaking, and whispering. So there are all kinds of interesting things going on.
That's incredible. So, I mean, it is kind of an advanced selection that you've chosen.
This is because the concert has so much new music. There are four world premiere performances on here. We can talk about those later. But there's a good balance of traditional music and new music. And this is a concert themed on music of Wyoming and Montana.
Now, what inspired the Wyoming-Montana collection to come together?
Well, the singers are normally from, as I said, a mixture of Wyoming and Montana, and we have a healthy, we'll call it a healthy artistic rivalry between Montana and Wyoming, and a lot of the singers have relationships with composers and other conductors, and so I just sort of started casting a net, and I said, do you have pieces that you would like to do? Do you know some composers who would like to write for us or who have pieces that we could do on a concert featuring all Montana and Wyoming music? That's how it started, and it kind of snowballed. It started back in, I think, January or February of 2025. I started this idea, and it took a long time to pull it all together, but we've got a really nice program lined up.
When you sit down and kind of arrange what songs are going to go where, is there a pattern that you like to follow, or is there a structure to that, a matrix of some sort?
I wish there were a matrix. It's in some ways for me, it's the most difficult part of the endeavor, is just how do I pace the music? Different pieces are in different keys, so you don't want to spend too much time in the same key. You don't want to have a bunch of slow songs together. You want to alternate slow songs with fast songs. We're singing in multiple languages, so sometimes we're in Latin, sometimes we're in English. So you want to have a variety of tempos and key areas and even styles and historical representations of music. So, and you try to run a narrative through all of that. We have some groupings in our concert. So we have some groupings of religious or sacred texts. We have some groupings on Japanese themes. We have some groupings on Western and Montana themes and Wyoming themes. So there are the small groupings, but it's a challenge to get it all together. And I hope it's in a good package that people can digest.
And I mean, is that kind of the determining factor, watching the crowd out there as you're directing?
I don't watch the crowd, and interestingly, I'm not directing any of this. Most of the work we do as Skyline, we do not have a conductor.
Oh, wow.
So there are 10 singers for this concert. We just look at each other. We take cues. There are two, maybe three pieces on this concert that we will use a conductor just because we didn't have, you know, tons of rehearsal time, and it's a world premiere performance, and we want to make sure that we do it really well. So for those pieces, we will have a conductor, but normally we do not.
Now, when you are following a conductor, a lot of people may just think, well, he's the individual that kind of stands up there in front of everybody, raises his hands and drops his hands. What are you really watching for?
You're watching for the tempo, how fast the piece goes, how slow the piece goes. Sometimes pieces will speed up and then they'll slow down again. So you're watching to make sure that you're all singing together in the same time. And you're also watching the conductor for things like dynamics. How loud are you supposed to be singing? How softly are you singing? And there are also articulations. Are you singing smooth and legato, or are you singing short and detached kind of thing? So gestures and articulations, dynamics, all of that would come from the conductor. And we're just sort of... we're used to doing it ourselves.
Yeah, very. And being, you know, basically a professor in vocal singing, vocal music, when you listen to the radio driving to work in the morning, I don't want to say critiquing, but are you listening to things that maybe the layman like myself cannot hear?
I'm frequently listening for chords and chord relationships. So there's the melody there that most people will get, right? You get the primary melody or the tune of the song. I'm more in tune to what chords are happening and how those chords are changing over time, the harmonies and the colors, and how it all relates together.
Interesting. Just out of curiosity, is there anyone new on the scene that you think is particularly spectacular?
I'm the wrong person to ask that question. I spend...
Classical. You're more in the classical.
I'm more in the classical, and actually medieval, Renaissance, Baroque. So I spend most of my time 300 years ago. I joke with some of my friends that I was born 500 years too late, but that's okay. I can still experience the music. So yeah. I am not a connoisseur of the latest popular or jazz music, although I do know a lot of the recent classical music that's come out and some of the more recent choral things.
Now, let's go to Kinnison Hall. What makes this such a special venue for performances like this, where the performance itself is really the voice?
Sure. It's a small, intimate hall. It's about 400 seats, so we don't need to use any kind of amplification at all. It's all natural sound. The hall is constructed with, it has some acoustical baffles in the wall, so we can enhance or deaden any of the resonance and the frequencies. So it's a really nice place with the acoustical shells and the wall treatments that it sounds very, very much like natural voices. There's good resonance and it's natural.
All right. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with Sheridan College Director of Choir and Vocal Studies, Dr. Robert Cerny, right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Help celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States by designing a flag for your Sheridan County community. Sage Community Arts invites designs from each of the 14 cities and towns in the county. One design will be chosen from each to begin flying the first week of January. To enter, scan the QR code in this week's Country Bounty for a link with format information and to submit your design. This contest sponsored in part by Sage Community Arts and Sheridan Media.
Hey, Colton, now that the fall season is here, it reminds me of how many things there are to keep track of during the school year.
No kidding. There's the backpacks, pencils, notebooks, but there's also the cleats, gym shoes, band instruments, not to mention everything parents are accounting for on top of it.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates team at Best, and we know how much work it is, even just remembering everything you need for the next day.
And this is Colton Bates. It's why we work hard to make the real estate process as seamless as possible so you can make the move you want and keep your life moving.
Whether buying or selling, let us help make it the best experience for you.
Give us a call at 675-BEST and visit bestwy.net today.
Hey, this is Chancey Williams. As many of you know, I'm a singer-songwriter, former saddle bronc rider, a proud UW grad, and lifelong cowboy. I switched to Blue Peak Fiber Internet in Laramie, and happy I did. It's reliable and keeps me in tune with my family, friends, and fans. Casper, Sheridan, and Cheyenne, you can get Blue Peak too. Say it with me. The world needs more cowboys and fiber internet.
Go online to mybluepeak.com to get all offer details for your home and business internet. Terms and conditions apply.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Sheridan County, this moment is brought to you by you. Thanks to the generosity of our community donors, the SCLT Big Goose Natural Area at Bridges is now open for families, for anglers, for hikers, for everyone who loves the land. Experience it today at 14 Lane Lane. Plan your visit at SheridanCLT.org.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse.
I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. Sheridan College will present a concert of Wyoming and Montana-themed a cappella choral music beginning at 7 p.m. this Saturday, October 25th. And this morning, we're talking with Sheridan College Director of Choir and Vocal Studies, Dr. Robert Cerny. Sir, one of the composers, Paul Jurgen from Wyoming Catholic College, will he be there, or will we just be using his Latin, what is it, mones?
Motets.
Motets.
Yeah. Paul is not going to be at the concert. He is a very busy composer, and he splits his time between Wyoming and some work in Massachusetts. So he will not be here, but he's given us his blessing to use his music, and he's really excited that we're performing three sacred motets, and they're really from the Catholic liturgy. There's one from the Feast of Corpus Christi. There's a setting of the Pater Noster, the Our Father, or the Lord's Prayer, as people know it, and a meditation the mouth of the righteous speaks truth. And so these are all based on ancient chants of the church, and it alternates with usually one voice presenting a melody, and then the choir can respond with verses, and other settings are completely polyphonic, where all the voices are singing simultaneously.
And, you know, I think back to my music history course, and if I remember correctly, that's really where music in its written form originated. The Catholic Church wanting a uniformity across all their choirs. And so there were, correct me if I'm wrong, like a tick mark above certain words.
Right. There was just a mnemonic device to help them remember, oh, the melody goes up here or the melody goes down here. And you're exactly right. This is where the basis for Western notation and music came, because they would use this music every year, right? The church calendar comes back every year or every 3 or 4 years. And that's why they wanted to save this music. You know, music had been being sung for thousands of years, but now they wanted to preserve it in the same format because they knew it would come back at the same time next year.
It's just amazing how it all kind of came together. You are going to have a couple premieres. One of those new works is your own, Three Sudoku. What is that?
Well, I'll let people be the judge. I've had this idea for a number of years. I'm not by nature a composer. I really enjoy music and studying it and seeing how it's put together. But one of the problems for a lot of contemporary composers is finding a text that they want to set, you know, and then you need to get permission to set the text to music. Well, I solved this problem by using Sudoku. So the only text for my piece, it's just numbers.
That's amazing.
So, you know, the text might be 3, 0, 2, 4. Yes, and I include 0, so it's not a true Sudoku. I have 10 digits because we have 10 singers. So each singer basically gets assigned one number and sings only that number in various combinations throughout the work.
That's incredible. How do you even arrange something like that?
Well, there are a lot of guiding mathematical principles. That's all I will say. If you're maybe a math aficionado or a math nerd, you might get some of what's going on. They're kind of math jokes.
Yeah, but I think that's fantastic. And one thing that I think even you and I have discussed, the connection between math and music.
Absolutely.
So close together.
Sure.
Eugen by Athena Carson, another premiere.
Yes. Athena is a young student. She's currently in the doctoral program at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And she's from Bozeman, and she's a violinist, has written a fair amount of music, but this was her first major choral work. And I got in contact with her from our singers, some of the singers in Skyline who are from Bozeman. And she was very excited to have us work on this piece. She had written it a number of years ago as a composition assignment, but it had never been performed. So she was very excited for us to give its premiere performance. And it's a meditation, and it's a description of the things that are below the surface that are very deep and profound. So if you're thinking about, you know, a surface of water or air, things that are beneath that and are quite substantial, but you wouldn't know it. Necessarily. It's a really interesting piece harmonically and rhythmically. It's a little challenging to put together because the basic tempo is very slow, And so this is one of the pieces we'll be using a conductor for, but really interesting. Some of it I heard the first time we worked through it. It's almost cinematic in its approach, and wow. It's just a cappella voices. So it's quite interesting.
When it comes to that control of voice, how challenging can that be?
Well, that's why we study, and it depends on what you're controlling. If you're trying to, have one pitch with a very pure tone and sustain it for a long time, or whether you're accentuating dynamics, crescendos, getting louder, getting softer, or the volume. All of those, we practice numerous vocal exercises all the time to sharpen all of those skills. And in this piece, it's mostly breath control, sustaining, and it's really good for our ears because there are a lot of changing chords that are interesting and mysterious and challenging to hear at the same time.
It's always fascinating for me when I see a true performer who has that type of control. It's just a discipline, almost like a meditation when sure. You're watching them truly give a performance. It's amazing. Tell me about Story Structure.
Story Structure is a piece by Maren Hayes Marcassini. She's a composer from Bozeman, Montana as well. And I originally reached out to her. I knew her from, I used to teach in Montana, and so I knew Maren from my days there. And I reached out to her and I said, do you have any pieces that we might sing on this concert of Wyoming and Montana? And she sent me a bunch, but they were mostly pieces for women's chorus. And I had already picked out a piece for women's chorus on this concert. And she said, you know, I'm working on a piece. And it sort of became the impetus for her to finish that piece. And it's called Story Structure. The text is a wonderful text by Alan Morris Jones, who is now the poet laureate of Montana.
Oh, wow.
And it's engaging. It starts off right away. It's in your face. It's rhythmically filled with energy, and it takes you on a journey, a musical journey and a textual journey. We'll have the text there for people to see, but it's unlike anything else on the concert because it just starts off and bam, you are going.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, we're also premiering a few pieces by our friend Dr. Eric Richards.
Right. I was fortunate to ask him earlier in the year. I commissioned a piece, and he said, sure, I'd love to write something for Skyline. And he said, you know, what do you need? And I said, I need a piece for Skyline. All you need, it just has to be a cappella. And, you know, he was thankful that I didn't say, you know, it needs to have this text or it needs to be this long. So he worked for a while. And came up with a beautiful setting. It's called Prayer for Peace. There's just a lot of violence and distress in the world today. And he was moved to write a piece called Prayer for Peace, which uses the Latin text, Dona Nobis Pacem, grant us peace. And it's a beautiful texture and a nice tapestry of sound that we're excited to give his premiere.
You know, when we talk about these beautiful pieces, you have a lot of colleagues out there who do amazing things, write beautiful works. Is that where you really get a lot of your performance pieces from? Or do people maybe email you and say, you know, hey, doctor, check this out? Or what do you think about this one?
I get a lot of academic people get unsolicited emails from composers all the time saying, hey, here are my latest things. And I try to look at most of those. A lot of them I can't do with my college choir because of a balance. One of the most common arrangements now is there are multiple divisi. So there'll be three soprano parts, three alto parts, three tenor parts, four bass parts.
Oh, wow.
And I just don't have the numbers to divide that far. But if it's, one or two singers on a part, I can easily do that. So it mostly comes through my connections with other singers. And I do conferences every year to hear new music. And I try to research things on my own of things that will work well for the group.
Now, how important is it to you that the Skyline singers champion these living composers as much as the classics?
We are living, you know, with the canon of, you know, traditional music and the sacred music going back 1,000 years or more. And I stop and look and say, well, where are we now? And where are we going? And nobody can say for sure. But all of these composers that we're using on our concert today, this weekend, are building off of, you know, the tradition. They're going their own way. This is certainly, you know, you wouldn't listen to any of these four premier pieces and say, oh, well, this is clearly, you know, 1730s Europe or, you know, 2000 Japan. But it's built on the same material, and the inspiration to reach people through this musical and textual combination, you know, the combination of words, or in the case of Yugen, it's sometimes just vowels and phonemes, and the vowels change very slowly from, you know, from ah to oo, and the voices will change at different rates. So you get interesting combinations of vowel sounds that you would not normally get.
And you can really hear that.
Sure, absolutely. You can. It's amazing what the ear can detect with just, you know, a small adjustment of your jaw or your lips. You can change the vowel just a little bit, and it changes the whole color of the sound.
Wow. Wow, that's absolutely amazing. Doc, how do we see this beautiful performance on October 25th?
You can call the box office and get tickets, or you can go to sheridan.edu/arts and get tickets. Tickets for students are at $10, veterans $15, and normal standard. I'm not normal.
I'm not normal.
Okay, standard adult tickets are $25, and or you can come the evening of the concert and try your luck. See, I think there will be some tickets available on concert evening.
Doctor, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It is always a pleasure to speak with you, and you teach me something new every time you're here.
Thanks, Lloyd. It's a joy to be here. Thank you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Caleb Shriners about the Tunnel of Terror. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hey, Colton, now that the fall season is here, it reminds me of how many things there are to keep track of during the school year.
No kidding. There's the backpacks, pencils, notebooks, but there's also the cleats, gym shoes, band instruments, not to mention everything parents are accounting for on top of it.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates team at Best, and we know how much work it is, even just remembering everything you need for the next day.
And this is Colton Bates. It's why we work hard to make the real estate process as seamless as possible so you can make the move you want and keep your life moving.
Whether buying or selling, let us help make it the best experience for you.
Give us a call at 675-BEST and visit bestwy.net today.
Doug, I love fall. Pumpkin spice, football, piles of leaves.
Don't forget piles of savings, Bob. Buy three, get the fourth for just a dollar at Waring Chevrolet.
A dollar? That's less than a hot dog at a ball game.
Hey, and these tires will last a lot longer than you won't have heartburn.
So pile up the leaves, pile up the savings, and pile into Waring Chevrolet.
Exactly. This fall, keep your ride rolling smooth with buy three and get the fourth tire for just a dollar. 107 East Alger or online at WaringSheridan.com.
Listen here for two of the best employment opportunities available today. Decker Cole is currently hiring a mobile equipment operator and a utility oiler. These are day shift positions with excellent benefits you would expect from an established company like Decker Cole. Experience is preferred, but they will train the right person. Interested? Stop by the Sheridan Workforce Center and fill out an application. Decker Cole Company is an equal opportunity employer.
Plan to attend the Caleb Shrine Christmas Bazaar this weekend at the Shrine Temple in Sheridan. Sale hours are 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Shop handmade crafts, jewelry, home decor, stocking stuffers, baked goods, and a whole lot more. While shopping, enjoy Indian tacos and some pie. Don't forget to buy your raffle ticket because they'll also have hourly drawings for great door prizes. The Caleb Shrine Christmas Bazaar this Saturday, 9 to 2 at the Sheridan Caleb Shrine Temple.
Are you looking to make extra cash and sell your unwanted items? Go to SheridanMedia.com, post your items for free, or choose from our menu of options. You can have your items posted in the Country Bounty, read on Swap Shop, or listed on the front page of SheridanMedia.com. Go to the classified section on SheridanMedia.com. Let's get your items sold and turned into cash. If you're a business owner, you can post your employment opportunities. It's all right there, classified section, SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. Proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. Our guests this morning are Sheridan Caliph Shriners, Joe Schwartz, and Bill Rathburn. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Good morning.
It's always great having you guys in here, and every year I got you in here to talk about the big event that we're going to be discussing, and that is the Tunnel of Terror. For those who may not know, we got a lot of new folks around here. What exactly is the Tunnel of Terror, Joe?
It is the annual Caliph Clowns fundraiser. We've been doing it about 6-7 years now, but it's our annual fundraiser, our main fundraiser for the clown unit. And it's a haunted house where we utilize the basement, the underbelly of the Caliph Temple, which there's an old theater tunnel that runs underneath the entirety of the building, and we convert it, and it's got a very nice ambiance all to its own, but we've converted it over, and we do a haunted house for about 3 or 4 days, so...
Yeah, I finally got to go into the basement this year.
Did you?
I finally got to go down there. And yeah, it definitely has that feeling. You don't have to do too much decorating down there.
Not a whole lot.
Now, can you tell us what visitors can expect this year? Any new scares or themes taking place?
So this year, actually, we are theming it, and we're calling it the Tunnel of Terror Presents Under the Big Top.
Oh, wow.
So this one will be everything, scary circus, carnival, clowns. I mean, we've always had a clown room and whatnot, but this one we're strictly theming it towards that scary circus vibe. So freak shows, fortune tellers, ringmasters, clowns.
Why did you guys decide to theme it this year?
You know, in years past, we've always tried to come up with a theme, but usually once we get down there and start putting it together,
it kind of gets lost.
Everything gets lost. Trying to reutilize some old decorations, change them up. But this year we've decided we want to do kind of a major revamp of it and really just push it towards one solid theme. And just that way we have everybody on the same page. We've somewhat themed it before. I know one year we did it. It was the year of COVID. We did it and we called it the quarantine. And it worked out. We had plague doctors. We had coroners and stuff like that. And then another year we did it. To change it up, we called it the blackout, which we basically turned off all the lights and gave people muted flashlights.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, down there with a muted flashlight and the amount of fog that was there, you could only see about 3-4 foot in front of your face. It made it real fun for the jump scares and whatnot. And then this one's really the first time we've really done just one solid theme through it. So,
and what's really great is if anybody knows clowns, it would be you guys from top to bottom. So
And we try to disassociate with our normal clown persona, like during our parades and whatnot, to the difference of it. It's not going to be just a solid haunted house of scary clowns. That's why we're doing it big top theme. Yeah. So we got some pretty good ideas and some people really going out and building some pretty amazing stuff for this year. So
now when folks attend, they're definitely going to know where to enter, but where do you enter? Is it from the shrine itself or is there a side entrance?
No, so we mix it up. Last year, traditionally in years before we started, basically you'd walk in the door, there's stairs that go down to like where our recorder's office is, and that would start you in the tunnel. And we've also gone back and then you would exit through the auditorium. And we've done it a few years where we've ran it backwards, where you start in the auditorium and you exit at the main entrance. And I'm not sure this year what we've decided which way we're going to run it yet. But
that really keeps folks guessing, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's just kind of a way to easily change the whole outlook of it. So
now,
whichever way we do it, though, I think they'll come in the front door.
Okay. Yeah, at 145 West Loudon.
So you just go into the front door, and then you'll notice if it's going from the auditorium or the recorders.
We'll have our ticket takers right there.
Okay.
We'll be basically right when you enter to the tunnel. And we may do it in the auditorium this year. It works a little bit better, especially if we have some inclement weather. It works a little bit better because we can queue line it down in the auditorium and people aren't just piled outside.
Now, when it comes to how many nights it'll be open and the hours of operation, that's one thing. First, please let us know that. Second, I just want to thank you guys because this is a volunteer thing to raise money for the Caleb Shrine. These gentlemen and the ladies giving a lot of their time to make sure that this happens.
Yeah, there's about a week and a half worth of work that goes into this, and from setup to operation to cleanup. And it is. It's all 100% volunteers, and they're not all necessarily members of the Shrine either, or the Clown Unit, for that matter. I mean, I have a lot of my close friends that have helped me with this for the last several years, and a lot of other family and friends that have come down and helped us with it. So
I want to give a shout-out to my grandson who has Captain Clean. He does the radio advertising for us here.
Oh, fantastic. Yep. Yeah.
And his kids have also helped us out with the operation of it. And actually, I think last year Dan donated a bunch of pizzas to help feed all the kids and actors and whatnot. So
That's great.
It's cool to see. There's a lot of community support with it. Even though we're doing it as a fundraiser, we still see a lot of support throughout the community for it. So.
You find a lot of individuals kind of pull you off the side during parties or whatever and ask you, hey, Joe, you know, what's going to happen with the tunnel this year?
And not so much. I mean, I don't think people really think about it until it's right up on us.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest question we get most of the time is, are you guys going to do that this year? And it's like, oh yeah, we're definitely doing it. So
now I'm not looking for a numerical amount, but this is a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Where do those funds go, Joe?
So like I say, this one's a fundraiser and it's strictly going to support the Caleb Clown Unit, so in the Sheridan Caleb Shrine Temple, we have four units. We have the clowns, the horse patrol, the Oriental Band, and the director staff. So the clown unit, which is what we are, I mean, we're pretty obviously what we do, we're clowns. But this goes to help pay for travel expenses as far as fuel for our parade vehicles. We have the fire truck and we have the Willie's Jeep wagon. As far as getting those to and from parades, maintaining those vehicles, it also helps go with expenses as far as paying like candy for parades, confetti, stuff like that.
We also make donations to the Shrine Bowl every year, and we make other donations to some of our other causes than the Shrine.
And there's a lot of causes behind this.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how many volunteers does it usually take to pull this off? If you were to say my team's made up of 20 or 15?
I'd say at least, for operation, at least 20 people.
At least 20 people.
If not more. I couldn't get you an actual head count on it by the time, because the number kind of varies day to day, and especially this year with it being one of the days will be Halloween, we might lose a few of our actors, some of the younger ones, as well as we also compete with Halloween parties too. That'll be that same weekend. So we lose, like, we'll have so many people for Thursday, but we won't see them necessarily Friday, and same on Saturday. So we're always looking for more volunteers. And I mean, if anybody knows how to, is interested to get involved, just swing by the Shrine and talk to probably Tony at the bar would be the best way to get us in contact with us.
Okay, Tony at the bar at the Caleb Shrine, if you want to volunteer to help out with the Tunnel of Terror.
Yeah, and even if it's just set up and takedown, or if they want to be an active role in it. So.
Yeah, if they want to be an active role and scare people. That's what people like to do.
that's the fun part, isn't
that's
it?
That's the fun part, yeah.
And another big thing with this year, too, is we are going to be partnering up and working with the Ace in the Hole Players as well. They're coming in to help us this year. So,
and those guys are fantastic. I went to one of their performances out there. It's a good size troop.
Yeah, they did a few big shows this year at the Shrine that went over real well, and it seems to be a pretty amazing partnership that we got going with the Shrine and the Ace and the Hole Players as far as utilizing our auditorium. And we asked them if they'd be interested in helping us out with this, and it sounds like they are. So we're very excited to bring them in and get some fresh ideas and fresh blood in there. And plus, I mean, having a theater background or any kind of acting background with this stuff helps immensely too.
Oh, absolutely. So you are still actively looking for volunteers, though, so
we always
are.
We always are. We'll never turn anyone away. So,
now, on average, what kind of reaction do you really get from the guests? Is it kind of more laughter as they're coming out of the end, or
I don't know. I'm in the underbelly, and he's at the end, so he might be able to. Tell
I'm
you.
At the beginning.
Oh, well.
You get to see the apprehension on the face.
I get to see the apprehension.
I really couldn't tell you on my end.
But you do. Well, you know, you running at me and down a tunnel would terrify me, Joe. You're right. A pretty big guy.
Yeah, so I fill up the tunnel.
I know at my end, I see a lot of several of them start down and then they come back out my end.
They don't even bother going through the whole tunnel.
We have given some refunds.
That's incredible. Now, for people planning to attend, what's the best way to get tickets for entry?
So it's just, we don't do any pre-sale tickets, so it's just come as you will, and we'll just take your entries at the door. And then our costs, we're holding them true this year, the years past, $5 per person, $20 per family, so a group of four or more, it's $20. And then,
Joe, would you put an age restriction on this?
I don't recommend bringing young kids. I mean, so... If someone wants to bring their younger kids, the night to do it would be the Thursday night performance, because that is kind of our, not necessarily rehearsal, if you will, but that's the first night of operation. Things aren't quite full throttle at that point.
Okay.
Friday show's a little bit more intense. The Saturday one, it's enter at your own risk. Saturday things do get wild, and that's usually our biggest group.
So. Yeah. Well, and... you know, we want them to absolutely love the Caliph Clowns before they develop a fear.
Yeah, and all of our actors that we've used in years past and stuff, I mean, we're pretty good at reading. If a kid's having a hard time, the people know to dial it back.
Yeah.
We also have radio communication, yeah. So I can tell when there's a young one coming down, I can let them know that there's a young one coming down.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're usually pretty aware of it.
The next scare won't be as big. Help the little guys out. Now, if you were to look at this, how does hosting community events like this help keep the spirit of the Shriners alive? You know, clubs, organizations that require membership all over the United States are having trouble right now.
Oh, yeah.
But I really feel that the Tunnel of Terror, the Christmas party, things like this really help you guys stay out there in the community. What do you think?
I 100% agree. I think it lets people know we exist. And I mean, yes, you see us in the parades where the guys in the funny hats and drive little cars, whatever, or the Oriental band with their sensuous music. But it's definitely a way to let people know we exist, for one. And like it gives us an avenue to talk about our cause and why we do this. Another big thing, especially for the kids' Christmas party and the Tunnel of Terror, I believe, is it gets people in our building.
Yeah.
There's so many people I have talked to that have never once set foot in our building to know that it's open to the public, that they can come into our building, that, you know, and really on the membership end of it, it's a great way to get people talking about it, to help, well, if potentially build members.
Mm-hmm.
And that I just, because you get people in there, they get to talking, they get to asking the questions, and then it sparks that interest. And also, like I say, the biggest thing is just being able to educate people on what we do. I mean, a lot of people don't know what we do outside of drive little cars and wear funny hats. They don't know what our actual cause is, which is the support of the Shriners Children's Hospitals. Sorry, I can't say that anymore. Shriners Children's now.
Yeah.
They changed the name.
Now, when it comes to that cause, I mean, so many of your efforts go towards that. What would you say is the biggest event or gathering that you hold that really puts that foot forward?
To support the hospitals?
Yeah.
Bill, I would say probably for Wyoming, it's going to most likely be the Shrine Bowl.
The Shrine Bowl.
The Shrine Bowl.
The football game that we hold every spring.
Yeah, I think we were able to generate about $80,000 this year.
That's incredible.
For the Salt Lake City Hospital.
Now, is the Salt Lake City one the closest one to us?
Yeah, yes. Salt Lake would be the closest. The next closest would be probably Spokane. But Salt Lake is, that's in our jurisdiction. That's our hospital. is about the best way to put it. And Bill could really.
But we do. We send children to Minneapolis. I've sent children to Minneapolis. I've sent children to the Portland, Oregon facility.
Oh, wow.
So we send children wherever they need to go, wherever their care takes them.
Bill, is each hospital specialized in anything, or are they all kind of general?
There are some that are specialized, especially in the burn area. We have four hospitals, one in Galveston, one in Cincinnati, one in Boston, and I can't remember where the other one is, but they specialize in burn patients.
Yeah. Joe, for individuals that are out there and they're thinking, you know, maybe they've been sitting on the fence about joining, what's the process?
I think I say it every time we're on here. The first, to be one, ask one.
Yeah.
And then the first step after that is you have to petition a local Masonic lodge. Not even local. You have to be a third-degree Mason. So you have to join the Freemasons first, make it be raised to the third degree, and then at that point you're eligible to petition the Shrine for membership and join us in the Shrine.
Now, you and I've talked about this at length in the past, but one thing I do want it to stay in the mind of individuals, you and your brothers are legacy. Your father was a member of this organization. You kind of grew up on the fringes of it until you were old enough to join. It's got a lot of mystique behind it, but really, what's the goal and the mission of the Masons?
The goal of the mission of the Masons is to make good men better. So a lot of it's based on, it all derives back to King Solomon's Temple and a lot of the teachings, and all of our education essentially comes out of the Bible. But it's not saying that you have to be an extremely religious man, but you do have to believe in the existence of a higher deity or something above us. But like I say, it's all just about taking a good man and making him better. So we're ultimately, and then the goal behind that is by making these good men better, you help generate more good and betterment within your community. So that's basically about the gist of how the way I can lay it out without getting too much.
And when it comes to things that are accomplished within the community by these organizations, is there anything you can talk about at length on that?
Bill, you got any ideas on that one? I mean, as far as the Masons go, you don't see as much of us in the public as far as the Masons are. At the biggest times you'll see us is like at Cornerstone dedications. I think the last one we did here was the Wild Theater.
Wild Theater might have been.
I think was the last Cornerstone dedication, which that was very special for a lot of us because the old Hallmark building is one of the original Masonic lodges.
Oh, wow.
That's where Lodge 8 and Lodge 43 originally met. There was one location prior to that, but when we were at our height and our finances were good, they left that building, sold that building, and that's when we built the building over on North Gould by the Pony. And then it was really cool YO did all that work up there, and then on the third floor was our lodge room. In the lodge room, you could see there was old checkered patterns and stuff, and you could see how the lodge used to sit. And it was cool for me because when we did that dedication, we had to bring in what's called the Grand Lodge Wyoming, which is over all the lodges of Wyoming. They came in for the Cornerstone dedication. We initially opened Grand Lodge at our building, processioned over to the Hallmark building, and they allowed us to officially open Grand Lodge in our old building. And the Grand Master at the time was really cool about it. He called it to order. And they had all the officers of the Lodge 8 and Lodge 43 take the chairs of the Grand Lodge officers and officially open Grand Lodge for the final time in our old building. And it was really cool for me to be a part of it. So
yeah, something that's going to stick with you forever.
Yeah, but those besides that and funeral services are about the only times you'll really see a Masonic ritual or service in the public eye.
But the Caliph organization is kind of the... I guess you could say fundraising arm of that.
A lot of people call it the Masonic Playground.
Masonic Playground. It's an appendant body. There are several appendant bodies of Masons. Scottish Rite, York Rite, Caliph Shrine. Any shrine is an appendant body of a Masonic organization.
And that really gives them the opportunity to do things for the community and stuff like that.
The Shrine is more the public face of any of the appendant bodies, really. You won't see much of the York Rite or Scottish Rite out in the public as much either. And that's where, that's part of the, of, I don't know, the mystique of it is it, and our rituals is it just keeps those people guessing that, well, this secret society, what are they really doing? And
yeah,
really, we're just doing 200-year-old rituals.
Well, Scottish Rite is kind of out in the public a little bit because they have the language clinic.
Oh, wow.
And they sponsor the language clinic and take care of children who have speech difficulties.
You want to make an impact on your community. All you have to do, find a Mason, have a conversation, and you can join this great organization that gets to do these fun activities through the Caliph Shrine every year. Joe, one more time, when and where will all of this open up, my friend?
So it will be October 30th, 31st, and November 1st, where it'll be our 3 days of operation. We open at 6 o'clock each night. Thursday night, the 30th, will be roughly about 6 to 8 or 9 for the first run, and then 6 to 10 or later on Friday and Saturday. And it's at 145 West Laux.
And there you go, folks. They haven't changed the price in quite some time. $5 per person, $20 for a family. Go on down there, get your scares, and help raise some money for fantastic, fantastic causes. Bill, Joe, thank you both so
Always
much.
Always a pleasure, Floyd.
Always a pleasure.
Love seeing
thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Well, I'll admit it, Dolly's premiere was a triumph. But if you missed it, don't despair.
He's right. There's still time to fall in love with the show. The melodies stay with you, the dancing lifts your heart, and the hats, oh, the hats are pure delight.
And I'll be there every night making sure love and laughter find their rightful place. So come along before we take our final bow.
Even a hard-nosed feed store owner can't resist twice. I'm coming back.
Hello, Dolly continues October 23rd through the 26th at the YO Theater. Get tickets now at yotheater.com.
If you're hunting in bear country this fall, some reminders. Keep attractants in camp inaccessible to bears. Bears who find food rewards often come back. Bears are packing on fat for hibernation, so keep a lookout for signs of bear, tracks, scat, digging. Think about hunting with a partner and pack out your harvest as soon as possible. If you have to leave it, try to hang it up or be able to see it from a distance. And remember bear spray. It's effective, so keep it handy and know how to use it. Sponsored by the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Are you or a loved one looking for a long-term care opportunity that ensures dignified, fulfilling living in a safe environment staffed by caring and skilled professionals? Greenhouse Living for Sheridan is currently welcoming elders to the cottages located at 2311 Shirley Cove. Set up a visit to learn what sets Greenhouse Living for Sheridan apart, including private rooms, on-site activities, and a sense of community supported by the entire team at Sheridan Memorial Hospital. See sheridangreenhouse.org today for additional information or to set up an appointment with our care team.
This is Brad at Prime Rate Motors Super Trailer Store, here to tell you we are completely stocked up with all types of aluminum and steel livestock trailers. We carry the most proven, durable brands like Wilson, Merritt, Murhau, and GR. With over 30-plus in-stock models available, we are eager to make you a deal you cannot resist. All types of trade-ins are accepted and financing is available. That's Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffin Avenue, and online at Prime.